Well, let's turn to Judges now, again, chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 25 to the end and then announce the sermon title. I think actually, providentially, I think this is a very timely sermon title, especially in the light that we have someone who will be married in a few weeks' time. We have two people whose families are going to enlarge in 2 weeks' time. Sorry, a month's time or so. And so let's hear Judges 13 from 15. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "If you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that when your words come true, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord, and Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen the face, we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these." And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahane Dan, between Zorah and Eshtoal. So the title of the sermon tonight is Samson's Parents. Yes, Samson's parents. Because we've not even got to the birth of Samson, or just beginning at the very end of the first chapter. So the writer of the book of Judges gives us a whole chapter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on how Samson even came into this world in the first place. And one of the things that we learn is the Lord promises a deliverer. Samson's not called a judge here, but he is promised as a deliverer. And what would he deliver Israel from? He would begin to deliver Israel from the bondage which they were under. The bondage they were under was from the Philistines. But the Philistines were raised up by the Lord to execute judgment upon the people of God for failing to seek first the kingdom of God. They were involved in all kinds of sin. And if the people of God get involved in sin in every age, God will bring judgment. Let judgment begin first where? In the world? Let judgment begin first where? In a local football stadium? Let judgment begin first in the house of God. And the ways of the Lord have never changed. And so what we find here is that God sent the Philistines to oppress the people of God, to teach them a lesson. And so we need to walk very carefully with the Lord, because we may come under such a judgment if we want to walk in disobedience. God promises to chastise us. Have you ever been chastised by the Lord? Only you can answer that. If you haven't, there could be a problem, because God promises if you're a son, he will chastise us. And what I've learned is when the Lord chastises us, it hurts. But it's for a purpose, though, and it's to purpose to teach us obedience and to make us more like Christ, which doesn't come naturally. But what we find at this time of Samson is that the professing people of God, they are covenant breakers. The professing people of God, they're not spiritual people. They turn to worship idols and the gods of the nations around them. Imagine we get invited to Adam and Rivka's home, and while we're enjoying pounded yam and whatever else they decide to cook for us, we notice that Adam's got some family idols on the shelf. And we're thinking, well, he's a regular church goer, he's even a deacon, but what's he doing with these family idols that he's got from his parents? It would be atrocious, wasn't it? But it was worse than that. The context was far worse. When there wasn't a judge, people were almost running to worship idols. You mentioned African traditional religion. This was African traditional religion on steroids. They were desperate to worship pieces of wood and stone which were deaf and had no power. So we find in this time of declension, of a backslidden nation, that we find a couple of people, Manoah and his wife, whose name's not being given, and I want to say that they are godly people. Samson was born into a family with godly parents. And the root problem in life is always spiritual. It's not you need to work harder, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, the root problem for any of us is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as the Lord Jesus said, the Prince of Glory, and then all things will be added unto you. You change that order and begin to pursue all things. God may let it run for a while, but if you're a true child of God, God will chastise us and get us back on track. So, if the root problem is spiritual, then also the root answer has always got to be spiritual. My first heading tonight is that Samson had a godly father. Isn't that wonderful? Samson had a godly father, which we've read. He's not mentioned as a judge, but the angel of the Lord was sent, as we've read tonight, and came to the woman first. Does that remind you of anything when you scan through the scriptures? Well, it does remind us. It reminds us of what would happen hundreds and hundreds of years later, when in a small village called Nazareth, an angel came and didn't come to the fiancé first, came to a virgin called Mary, and the angel of the Lord came to bring a message. It was different then, but here we have in shadow, and the message was that you're going to give birth to a son, and it won't just be delivering you from the Philistines. This son will be delivering us from sin, and you shall call his name Jesus. But what we get here is it pointing us to Christ in shadow. The angel comes to Manoah's wife and brings good news. Aren't we thankful that we worship a God of good news? That even in what we read this morning, Psalm 95, God brought good news to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Many of them rejected it, but God brought good news. And God sought out a man and his wife who were barren. But notice how godly Samson's father is, because in the chapter before we read about many judges, and they've got lots of wives and lots of children and lots of donkeys and lots of things, thinking that huge amounts of children will be the answer for them. But yet we don't find that Manoah turns to polygamy. Why? He was clearly a godly man. But nonetheless, the Lord heard the cry of these people, and the Lord sent an angel to this woman who was barren and said, you're going to have a son. But what we find, as I've already mentioned in verse 8, it says, then Manoah prayed to the Lord. So what we learn here is that Manoah prayed. Some of you are not fathers, who are men here tonight, but Lord willing, you may become a father in the future. What kind of a father do you want to be? Because this father, he prayed. The greatest gift we can probably give our children is to be a man of prayer and to have a loving marriage. And to seek first the kingdom of God. Manoah prayed to the Lord. When he didn't know what to do, he prayed. When you don't know what to do, what do? Do you turn to the Lord? Manoah did. Remember 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. The ways of God have never changed from the very beginning and will not change until Jesus comes back. And so let us be learning tonight from Samson's parents, but first Samson's godly father, that he was a man of prayer and he turned to the Lord. May we fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14. May we humble ourselves and pray. Humble ourselves and pray. If you look down at yourself, you'll notice how many knees you have. You have two knees, but one mouth. And we need to be on our knees and saying, Lord, and look to the Lord for help. And that's what Manoah did. And he prayed, and addressed the Lord, used the covenant name, YHWH. We don't know how best to pronounce it in Hebrew. It's best translated, Lord, please let. And God answered. And the angel of the Lord came again. Let me give you one last comment before we move to our second heading. One of my favorite writers, probably in the history of the church, actually, not just a Puritan writer, it's a man called Thomas Watson. We don't know a lot about him, but he's written quite a number of books. And he's got a very good book, which I've read recently, called The Duty of Self-Denial. And what I'm about to read out to you is a man of God speaking with the fear of God. And he said this, pray much for self-denial. Listen to this, Thomas Watson. Prayer sets God to work. Can you say amen? Pray much for self-denial. Prayer sets God to work. When Manoah began to pray, that set God to work. The promise has already come that your wife will have a son. But let's move to our second heading for the parents now. Not just Manoah, but Manoah and his wife. And the name of his wife is not even given. The second heading tonight is this. Carefulness to obey the Lord. Manoah and his wife were instructed by the Lord. We've got a whole chapter before Samson's born. And it's all based on the parents. It's this, that they are to be very careful to obey the Lord. You know, we can sometimes think we're obeying the Lord, but actually it's our own conscience and preferences. For example, we get something of this in the Nazarite vow. Because in the Nazarite vow, for a season, a man or a woman who would fulfill that vow, they were not allowed to drink any wine or strong drink. But what we learn from Numbers chapter 6, once that vow would be fulfilled, and it could be for many months because you were not allowed to cut your hair. And so, you know, as a sign of outwardly taking care of yourself and being set apart to serve the Lord. But once the Nazarite vow was ended and you brought a sacrifice, and remember Samson, though, he's different because he was to be a Nazarite from the womb until the day of his death. But in that Nazarite vow, once the vow has ended and you've sacrificed to the Lord, then you are allowed to drink wine again. But sometimes you can meet Christians who say it's a sin to ever drink wine. Now, what I would contend from the Bible is this, that if somebody wants to maintain that for their conscience, that's fine. But don't turn to the Bible to make that the law. Because Jesus says the Lord's Supper is to use bread and wine. So clearly, if the Bible said we must never ever allow wine to touch our lips, then the Nazarite vow is doesn't make sense. That it says for a season they're not to touch any, not only wine, but strong drink. But then once the vow is ended, a man or woman can drink wine again. Not to get drunk. Drunkenness is always a sin. But I remember as a young Christian, I read a book called Sipping Saints. And it said, I thought, oh no, what a wretched sinner I am. And apparently what I learned as a young Christian, that Jesus didn't turn water into wine. He turned it into Ribena. And I thought, oh no, I misread the Bible. But actually looking back over the years, that book twisted the scripture. And it was fundamentalism that was driving the agenda, not the truth of scripture. But nonetheless, back to my second heading, Manoah and his wife were called to carefully obey the Lord. Look at Judges chapter 13 and verse 13. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, he's the head of his house. And yes, men are called to be the head of their house. Sometimes you get a sticker saying, I don't know, I can't remember what it says about Christ is the head of this house, whatever. Well, actually, that's not true. Christ is not the head of my house. I'm the head of my house. And I am in submission to Christ. So that's biblical. Now, in a British Western society, it's like, you're not suggesting that you what kind of a man are you? Well, we're interested in being a biblical man. Not a domineering man, but a biblical man who will take up his responsibility. And Manoah is spoken to. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. God spoke to the head of his household and said, let her be careful, because she was going to be responsible for bringing Samson, who was a sinner, into the world to maintain this Nazarite vow. And now the head of the house, Manoah, had to make sure, let her be careful. And so we need to be careful as Christians, as Jesus was careful. When Jesus grew up, he obeyed every one of the commandments and the scriptures. He went to the Passover every single year. Never missed a Passover in his life. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say, oh, it's a long way to go. Oh, mum and dad, I'm bored. No, Jesus obeyed the Father. Jesus never missed being in the synagogue. He honored the Lord, the Sabbath, perfectly from the moment he was born. And so Christ gives us a pattern of carefulness, and Manoah is now been instructed. But what we find is this. In Hosea, it tells us that like priest, like people, there's ignorance in the land, there can be ignorance in the church, but that's no excuse for us to fail to be careful to obey the Lord, because we'll be accountable to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you careful to obey the Lord? Are you careful to search out the scriptures? Because the angel came here, and we've just read in 13 and verse 4 as well, it says the same thing. Therefore be careful to the woman, and be careful, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. But it's the emphasis, not so much on the Nazarite vow, but to be careful. And so we need to understand this about what was given as a responsibility for Samson's parents. In the book of Hosea, we find this verse, like priest, like people. Like priest, like people. And we find this in the days of the judges. There was not a unified leadership. There wasn't a unified king. And it says in those days, everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. But we're not to be like that as Christians. We're to find out what the Word of God says and to obey it, not individualistically, but as part of the Church of Jesus Christ. My third and last heading is this. is the importance of family instruction and worship. And it's something I'll bring out now to close, is that Samson's dad and Samson's parents do not appear to have been successful, shall I say, in being careful. And let me just read to us from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The word of God says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules." Then it goes on, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand. They shall be frontless before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Manoah and his wife were instructed to be careful. They were clearly godly, but they don't seem to have been successful in raising Samson to be a man of God. And we'll see evidence of that in a moment. Here again, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you." If you're a man and you have children, you need to know you need to be responsible to discipline your children. And not in a cultural way, or you know, trying to negotiate with the children. Children need to know this is right, this is wrong, and if you persist in doing wrong, there'll be consequences. There'll be consequences. So we can't back off. It says, "He who spares the rod hates the son." You know, so we need discipline. Children need discipline. That's not a Nigerian verse. It's not a Chinese verse. It's a biblical verse. And God has never changed. In Berlin, they say you're not allowed to smack children anymore. The question is, do we obey God or not? The fact is, the word of God says, it's not simply about smacking, it's about discipline. "And so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him." As we seem to look at Samson's life, who was supposed to have a Nazarite vow, we wonder, I'm not trying to speculate, what kind of discipline was he under? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments." Samson, as we look at his life, from chapter 14, verse 1, to the end of his life, we don't find any evidence of him keeping his Nazarite vow, except that he didn't cut his hair. But he allowed his hair to be cut towards the end, didn't he? He was running after women. He was becoming unclean by touching dead bodies. By even going to a lion and taking honey from the mouth of a lion. The lion itself was an unclean animal. And it says, the Nazarite vow, you were not even to, even if you were standing there and someone dies next to you, you make the Nazarite vow void because you've touched something dead. Well, now Samson, as we read his life, he didn't follow those instructions. And my conclusion is this, is that we need a recovery of family worship in the homes. We need a recovery where, let's say, for example, after the evening meal, the father leads the family to read the Word of God, then to explain the Word of God, and then perhaps to sing together and to pray together. And that needs to be done, you know, almost every day. There's times you can't, you're traveling. But the man needs to especially lead the way. If you don't learn this lesson tonight, you may end up with a Samson in 20 years' time. And don't say you've not been told. Our children need to be under the discipline of the Word of God. And we need men to be raised up to do their God-given responsibility. We look at the Word of God and we see Samson's wife also was a godly woman. And she... Sorry, correct. Manoah's wife was a godly woman. So we need godliness from the wife and from the husband, Lord willing. But I want to contend tonight, as it says in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is the first commandment, that it may go, and that you, fathers, do not provoke your children to, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All I can say is, when we look at Samson's life, it seems as if the parents had not done the job to bring Samson up in the ways of the Lord, because he broke his Nazarite vow time and time and time again. And it wasn't just that Samson would have been ignorant if his parents had taken the time to instruct him in the ways of the Lord. It could well have been a different story. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I pray for the recovery of public worship. I pray the recovery of family worship, so that, Lord, the word of God is not only discussed in the homes, but the children are instructed to reverently worship you at home. Children begin to know how to conduct themselves in worship. Help us, Lord. We acknowledge that we are needy sinners, but we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Keep on teaching us from the book of Judges, we ask, and forgive us our sins, but may today be a new day that we may be godly parents, not only in prayer, but in leading our families well and in family worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, shall we close?